Hi, Katie.
Hi, Eric.
Oh, it took a long time to get room sound that time.
That's okay, Bailey. It was
Bailey claws.
A little tip-tapping around. Also, I
she
just
was.
Ticked really hard.
And did you really?
Yeah. It's really funny.
I want to see if I can hear it.
No,
the
my
thing.
Neck hurts. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Infinite
Quest. Oh, you psyched me out on
I
that
did.
One.
I
wow.
Did.
I bet that bit is still funny after 100 million times.
I bet that everybody's like, oh boy, I wonder what hilarious bit they're going to do for the
garage door is opening.
Send us an email at askatinfinitequestpodcast if you heard the garage door opening. anyway, so you know what? I'm kind of okay with it. You know why? I've been thinking about it. Like, you are so great at audio and you are so great at making podcasts. And we're in our cool
thanks.
New fancy podcast booth. Go to my Instagram and
yeah.
see the picture of it. But here's the dealio. We're also just people.
We
making
are
making a podcast.
That is true.
In our spare room.
It's
still.
Nice. I figured out today finally how to get the radio signals to not come in through the things.
I'm really excited.
It was a whole thing because apparently it's like the weather affects it. Like the pressure in the atmosphere changes how radio signal. Like I was a whole thing. But
I'm really proud of it.
So hopefully this sounds real nice. I don't know.
I bet it does. I bet it sounds incredible and amazing. Also,
yeah.
Eric.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today? You said you had a pitch.
I had a pitch. And I feel like I didn't want us to like think, well, I didn't think about it. But I didn't want you to think about it like too much before we like started.
Uh-huh.
So you have veto power for this pitch.
Okay. Bailey is so
Jesus
upset
Christ,
that
Bailey.
She can't go out the door.
Anyways. So I posted a video on the old Ticket to Talk that mm-hmm. I've had in my drafts. Forever, or some version of it in my drafts forever.
Okay.
But I've noticed that I hadn't been making ADHD content on TikTok very much lately because I was seeing a lot of videos of people saying, like, do you have ADHD? Try this. Do you have ADHD? Try this. Do you have ADHD? Try this. And the comments just full of people saying, like, thanks, I'm cured, or like calling them ableist, or, you know, assuming that they're insinuating that, like, the reason they're struggling is just because they are shitty and not because they have a mental disorder, which sometimes is what people are saying, and those people can go fuck themselves. But I've just noticed there's a sort of cycle of trauma of if you have ADHD, your whole life you've been told by a lot of people that, oh, you're just not doing this, and if you applied yourself, you'd do better, and your backpack looks like shit because you're a piece of shit. You know, first grade Eric. Nobody's called me a piece of shit in first grade. Although I'm sure somebody probably called me a piece of shit while I was in first grade. Just not to my face.
Just in the teacher's
you
lounge.
Yeah, like Miss Burrell is sitting there like, yeah, Garrick's kid's a real piece of shit.
And Bailey. Chill
Bailey,
out.
Bailey, please,
man.
My love. Please. Everything's different now. There's new smells.
I know. Also, where's your collar?
I took it off because it jingles.
Okay.
Smart guy, right?
Yeah.
Cool. It's a perfectly reasonable... like trauma response to, like, since you've been told your whole life, oh, do you just do this, that, you know, when you see somebody say, hey, have you tried using a fucking planner, or, you know, putting your hamper where the clothes tend to pile up rather than where you think it should be, or whatever. It's reasonable to think, like, fuck you, like, this isn't that simple. You know, it's much more complicated than that. And it is. And I think that often. My default is that a lot of the time. But it got me scared to, like, talk about ADHD life hacks or whatever, how one might manage it, because I was afraid of being called ableist, and I was afraid I would, you know, I don't know. I was afraid I was talking to an audience that wasn't trying to hear it, you know. Anyway, so I posted a video basically talking about how, one, you're doing yourself a huge disservice when you discredit someone's advice, even if it's in bad faith, because dig this. When somebody gives you advice, it's not about them. It's about you. You might be able to benefit from that advice, even if they give you advice in bad faith. Like, just be like, are they right? And if they're not, fuck them. But, like, you shouldn't just assume somebody's wrong because they're being a dick. Like, the ability to learn from people you don't like is very important, I think. Anyways, so that got me thinking a lot about, you know, are there strategies and stuff that I discredit because either the person who suggested them to me is somebody I don't like, or somebody who was part of the whole ADHD trauma thing when I was a kid. And how much learned incompetence do I have, like, in my life? Bailey, you are so fucking adorable, but Jesus, buddy.
She's a little podcast dog.
She's a little podcast dog.
She wants to have her, this is the Baileyosaurus. section.
I also spilled French fries there like 2 days ago. So
wow,
she probably decided to move up. But anyways, that's just to say, I've been thinking about. I've been trying to find like learned incompetence in my own life and think like, are there any things that I could be doing to make my life even like 1% better that I'm not doing because I just assume that I can't?
I think it's really funny that, well, it's not funny, but like, it's interesting that you present the topic, you present it and you're like, yeah. And in my head, the like, logical part of me is like, oh, that makes a ton of sense. That's a really important conversation to have. But like my heart, my soul is like, I feel deeply personally attacked and I didn't come to my own podcast to be attacked in this way. And so it's like, it's interesting because I feel like I am often very guilty of that. But then I also struggle with the other extreme, which is where I like, my executive dysfunction really does come into play. And so it's hard. It's you have to be, I think, really fearless and really sort of like self-aware in terms of knowing how to make that work. Does that make any sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's rough. It's a hard, it's a judgment call you constantly have to make because you do have a legitimate medical reason why it's really hard for you to do dishes, or it's really hard for you to remember that appointment that you have. Like, you do have a legitimate medical reason.
Yeah.
But I mean, in my own life, I don't want to assume like that, you know, I have a data set of one. I've only ever been me. But like, I have absolutely noticed that a lot of times I'll be sitting there and dishes aren't done or something's not done. And I'll just sort of blame my ADHD. I'm like, fuck, my executive dysfunction sucks. But if I'm honest with myself, half the times that I didn't do the dishes and could have, wasn't from executive dysfunction. It was from me just not fucking wanting to, which is, you know, something worth acknowledging.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that we're having this conversation right now because I literally just got done hiring a new personal assistant, which is not as fancy as it sounds. Calm down. They're going to help me like a couple of times a week.
They're going to get you bagels and stuff though? Bring
no,
donuts to the office?
There will be no donuts or bagels. No, because this is virtual. This is a virtual thing. Because
virtual donuts.
Yeah. Well, because the thing is that I realized and that it really became part of the issue was that for me, everything leads to another thing, right? So it's like, oh, I made like this podcast is a great example. So it's like, okay, so we're going to make a podcast. Then we have to go to the website and we have to upload it. And I have to write a description, which you will remind me to do 4 times before I actually do it. and then we will release the episode. And then there needs to be an advertisement that gets done for Instagram and an advertisement that gets done for Twitter. And then ideally there would be an ad that gets done for TikTok, but they're not going to show anybody the fucking podcast ad anyway. So who cares? and then, you know, in a couple of months, we also need to post it onto YouTube because that is a new thing that YouTube is doing. And so it's like work begets work begets work begets work. And that feels so overwhelming. But then there's other stuff. Like I was talking to them and I was like, yeah, you know, like I really need help like setting up my YouTube for subscriptions because right now I don't have like the subscription thing set up. And they were like, oh, well, it is complicated. And I was like, no, I'm just lazy and I didn't want to do it, you know? And so it's like I see these places where it's like, no, actually, like that is very overwhelming. Or like my executive function goes, oh, if I write the episode description, then it actually means that I have to do 7 separate tasks besides the episode description. And so I don't want to write the episode description because then it means that I have to do all this other work. Podcast breakthrough.
No.
But then sometimes it's just like, no, I don't want to do the fucking dishes or like, I don't want to do the laundry. But then the problem is then, well, see, I don't want to steal your phrase.
No, please.
Well, because yesterday you were talking about task debt.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about task debt and how like that affects me too, because it's like, well, I won't do the laundry. Well, now there's 2 piles of laundry, and then there's 3, and then there's 4, and now there's Laundry Mountain. And then I also have, you know what I mean? And so then things like just stack up and stack up and stack up, where it's like, I know reasonably that if I did the one load when it's like, just do the fucking thing, but I'm so buried underneath like both the literal and proverbial Laundry Mountain that like, it's really hard for me to feel like I can get anything done. Like, and that's one of the reasons why, like, I think my house is always so messy, or because like, or like I'm always like so behind on like emails and stuff. And it's because it's like, there's the seven other piles that I still haven't done or still haven't folded or still haven't put away. And that feels bad, man.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. I think
I'm sorry, I keep wiggling, but my back really hurts.
No, it's okay, sweetie. I'm sorry, your back hurts.
That's okay. It's like ass.
What?
It hurts so much.
It hurts like ass.
It does.
Oh, it feels like ass.
It does. It feels like ass.
Well, I've noticed for me a lot when that sort of happens to me, when the mountains start piling up, it's often traceable back to one instance.
Yeah, like a moment of inaction.
Exactly. Like the first time you get into debt, you know, like, I mean, I think that's a really good analogy. Like the first time you go, oh, it's okay, I'll just put it on my credit card or whatever. And that starts a whole chain of fucking having debt. Like for me, you know, dishes, for example, like dishes is my big thing. So if I, let's say I'm starting with a completely clean kitchen, like I go ham on the kitchen, it's completely clean.
Okay.
And the sink is empty and I'm like, oh, sweet, starting from zero. I'm liquid, baby. Then we have like dinner one night and there's like just a couple dishes and just a couple. Like not doing those dishes.
That's the moment.
That's the moment. And I think for me, although, you know, executive dysfunction is obviously a huge part of my life. But in those moments, a lot of times I just don't fucking want to. I just don't fucking want to. So I don't. And it's small and, you know, it's easy for me to just completely jump off of it and forget that it exists because, you know, I have executive dysfunction. So it's almost like I'm harnessing that to not do a thing. And then that starts the process of, you know, that happens maybe once or twice. And now there's a big thing of dishes. And now it is executive dysfunction. Now my brain is thinking, where do I start? Do I clean the sink first? Do I clear a space next to it so I can take the dishes out? Do I clean the sink before I clean the sink? Should I fill both basins up with water, one soapy, one not? Like, then it becomes executive dysfunction. And then it just piles up more and more because as you run out of spaces to put dishes in the sink, they start spilling over to the sides. And then you're like, oh, I have to unload the dishwasher, but I can't do that because there's no spaces on the counters because there's dirty dishes. And now you're just in massive quantities of task debt. And it starts with those initial little things. And it very quickly becomes legitimate executive dysfunction. Because once the task debt piles up and there's 20 different things, you know, in order to do this, I need to first do that. But in order to do that, I need to first do this. Like that is absolutely legitimate executive dysfunction. But that first time or that first couple times, for me, I noticed that's where, frankly, the word is laziness, where I know I could do it right now. I have I'm standing there. And I just don't, because I don't want to. And it starts the process.
Yeah. For me, I think, though, too, one of the things that I've been realizing is that, for me, the task debt goes back even further to the real truth, which is, like, it's almost kind of, like, embarrassing to admit, because it's, like, we spend so much time talking about, like, systems and structures that work for you, but, like, I don't have a system in my kitchen. Like, I mean, the system that exists, you know, is there, like, we keep the plates there and we keep the bowls there, like, you know, whatever. But, like, I never really took the time to think through wholesale, like, from scratch, empty all the cupboards, all the drawers, everything, and go, okay, what does my brain actually need to function in this space? And I didn't do that anywhere, because I was thinking about this the other day. When I moved into this house, I didn't know I had ADHD.
Oh, yeah.
I got my diagnosis after we moved in. And so there was so much of myself that I still didn't understand that now, like, what, 5 years on or whatever, is like, oh, like, I really do need the pots to be on the top and the dishes to be, you know, like, whatever. Like, and so, like, there's a lot of places where, like, I'm really struggling with that task debt. Because it starts at, like, the foundational, like, how, like, where is the couch in the room, mm-hmm. sort of thing. And so now I'm dealing with this double problem of, like, I'm finally in a place where I think, like, my antidepressants are starting to work more effectively, which is great. But I'm buried under laundry mountain of all the stuff that I didn't do while my mental health was in the toilet. But then also all of those mountains of stuff that I have going on are stacked on top of the lack of a system that actually works for my brain, because I never built anything that worked for me because I thought my house had to be a certain way.
Mm.
And so it's like, and then when I start realizing that, I go, oh, fuck. Like, and then that is like the executive dysfunction of like just having to fix that, and how big that is of a problem to fix starts to feel really scary. So then I just do the dishes that are there. I hate where I put them away. Mm. I hate all the bullshit in the cabinets. And you know what I mean? And yeah. So it's like I'm living in this really weird place where like I'm really starting to understand like how much like task debt I've actually like accrued. And it is like, it's a foundational thing. It is like my entire home is built on task debt, you know? Mm-hmm. Even just stuff like, you know, like we're in the process of finishing the basement. And it's like, oh yeah, well, I'll unpack those boxes in a couple of weeks. And it's been almost 5 years. And I don't know what's in them anymore, you know? And it's like, should I unpack them? Should I go through them? Should I just take them unopened to the Goodwill? Because clearly I didn't need anything, you know? And then that becomes in itself a task, you know? And then that in itself becomes like, okay, well, then what if I decide I want to keep everything in the box? Where do I put that? Now that goes on the pile of, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I know that's not exactly what you're talking about, but it's just something that I've been feeling so much in my own life, is just realizing that I never actually set anything up in a way that works for me.
Yeah.
I just put stuff where it got put, and there it stayed. And then there was the time when my mom came and rearranged my entire kitchen without my consent. I'm still to this day finding shit that I was like, oh, that's where that got put. But I'm like, I think I just need to like clear off the dining room table and spend a day, just clear everything, like move out of the kitchen and go, okay, moving back into the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking, I kept thinking of like a bunch of different analogies, but I'll probably make all of them over the course of this episode. But so I've been watching Better Call Saul, which is a television program, a prequel to Breaking Bad.
Is it a prequel?
It's a prequel, yeah. It begins 6 years before Breaking Bad begins. No spoilers, don't worry. But there's a scene, or there's like a thing that is happening, where one of the big like drug guys has this really big underground compound underneath a laundromat, and it's like super nice, and it's where he makes drugs. Where Walter White eventually makes drugs. But in this show, you see it get built. And the idea is that there's this existing laundromat, a huge one, not just like an industrial laundromat. And Gus Fring is trying to find a team of people to excavate underneath it and basically make a huge thing, like compound underneath an already existing compound. So there's like an episode where they're interviewing people and they're talking through how they would do it. And every time the builder people... the prospective builder people are like, you know, like, yeah, actually, this would be really easy if there wasn't already an existing structure here. Like, you know, putting up the wall, like, yeah, but as we excavate and blast and put in new things and put in plumbing and electrical, we also have to maintain support for the structure that's already there. And it makes everything way harder. It turns it into a monumental task. Not to mention it all has to be done secretly because nobody's supposed to know it's there. But I kind of think it's like that.
Yeah, my house is a drug lair.
That's not what I. I should have gone with the refueling midair analogy.
No, but that was a really good analogy.
But that's exactly the thing.
It's such a good analogy.
Is like when my apartment gets really bad, or any space gets really bad, if there aren't like default things, you know, I'm trying to avoid saying systems, but yeah, systems in place. Then you're trying to create those systems, those foundations on the fly while you're actively living in a space. There's already a bunch of shit there. There's already garbage accruing, whatever. Whereas like you just said, like if you move completely out of somewhere. So now not only is there not clutter, there's nothing in there. Like if you want to use that shelf for that thing, it's clear. Like go for it. And then you put all the stuff that you want in there, and then all the stuff that isn't in there at the end of it, it's like, oh, cool. Clearly I don't need this stuff, which is way easier than going through stuff that's already there. Another analogy, I suppose, would be like refueling a plane mid-flight. You know, like Air Force One is flying. It can stay up there indefinitely. So like other planes have to fly up next to it and fuel it. It's really cool. But obviously that's way more difficult than refueling on the ground. And like when you're trying to you know, reset your kitchen or something like that, and there aren't systems in place, you know, it's like refueling midair. So, like, what, in that analogy, what would be the equivalent of landing, you know, such to refuel? And I think it's like kind of what you just said, where, you know, move completely out of it if you can, and then set it back. If that's a huge task, as is landing a fucking plane, but it's going to be easier to refuel once you're down there, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, now seems like as good a time of any to talk about our new sponsor.
You mean Geek Therapeutics?
That's the very same one.
You mean the fine folks who offer evidence-based certifications to clinicians, social workers, professionals, parents, teachers, and students on how to use geek therapy to unlock the best version of your clients and yourselves by bridging the gap between geeks and therapists to create practical and innovative therapy sessions that anyone can implement in their practice?
You had that just right, all memorized, ready
cuff,
to go.
Baby.
That's a pro right there. Yeah, that's exactly who I'm talking about.
But in all seriousness, Eric and I are super, super excited to announce our official partnership with Geek Therapeutics. They are an organization that we are fascinated by and excited by, and we 100% believe in the work that they do. And it really is not just for fancy therapist folks. It is for teachers, for parents, for educators, for TTRPG players, for DMs who just want to learn more about geek stuff and how to incorporate it into the lives of their family and their friends and their kids. And just, it's really useful.
It's really useful stuff. They specialize in things like Supernatural, Pokemon, Zelda, Final Fantasy, meme culture, Dungeons and Dragons. If it's nerdy, they do it.
And several more that we can't tell you about, but we know about because we're working with them and we're really excited. They're going to be super cool.
Wow. And if you want to learn to be a therapeutic game master, if that's your thing, they can do that for you too.
That's a great way to learn how to build a better adventure, keep people safe, encourage personal growth at your table, all sorts of good stuff. And if you are one of those fancy affirmationed therapists, they have certifications that are accredited by the APA, the NBCC, the ACE, the APT. They offer cultural competency courses to encourage diversity and inclusivity. They offer courses on problematic gaming. They offer just whole geek therapeutic certifications.
It's worth scrolling through. There's some pretty amazing classes on there. And if you're looking for therapy yourself, they also offer therapy that you can find on their website. You can even find a geek therapy certified therapist near you.
Find yourself a therapist who understands your love for Sam and Dean.
Supernatural throwback. Yeah.
You can go to geektherapeutics.com for more information. Please take a look at their website. They're an incredible organization. We're so excited to be working with them. And for books and for courses and for videos and all that good stuff that is not therapy, you can get 10% off your order with code InfiniteQuest.
I'm so excited to do all the stuff we're about to be doing. You're going to be hearing a lot about us and Geek Therapeutics in the coming while, and I'm so stoked about it.
It's going to be amazing. But hey, we should keep talking about that thing that we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, this episode, it's going.
It's the best one I've ever heard. Choo-choo on the chugging train.
Let's go get back to it.
Okay, here we go.
Let's go.
I think the thing that I get nervous about is that I've been using the metaphor of like Laundry Mountain, but like I also know what has happened when I've tried that in the past where I'm like, I'm going to take everything out of my closet and then I'm going to like put everything back in my closet. I'm going to reorganize everything as I go. And then what happens is I get halfway to, well, like 30% through, and then I run out of steam and my executive dysfunction kicks in, and then I'm literally sleeping on Laundry Mountain for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And like, you know what I mean? And so like, that's what I'm scared of is like, I really want to just take everything out of the kitchen, because I feel like also being able to sort of just like lay it out and be like, okay, what is actually in this cabinet? What is actually in this cupboard? What do I actually use? Like, I feel like that would be like really fucking useful, but I'm also scared that it's going to wind up where there's just like cups on the floor of the living room for 3 weeks. Like,
yeah.
And that scares me because that's the part of my executive dysfunction that I can't control.
Yeah. Well, I want to put this, I don't mean to like press you on this because I get what you're talking about. Like, it's really scary when
I'm
you fucking
put my leg up on you because my back hurts.
Sure. It's an honor. But so I totally get like that. I am scared shitless of that too. But I've been asking myself this question, and I'd also ask you this question. How much of that is learned incompetence? Because the fear for me is that I will clear everything off the whatever, let's say the kitchen, you know, I'll clear everything out of the kitchen and set it all out and whatever. And then, stop giving a shit and be fucking done with it. And then I'm screwed because all my shit's all over the place. But this is not minimizing executive dysfunction. At least I'm not attempting to. But you can force yourself to do things you don't want to do.
This is true.
Like, you can. It's harder when you have ADHD, but you can do it. Like, you can physically force your body to move in the ways that it needs to. It sucks. Hella dicks. Like, it's awful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with sucking dicks, but you know what I mean. Like, it sucks really bad. But you can force yourself to do it, and it probably ultimately sucks less than getting into the previous struggle where everything's just fucking all over your house and whatever. So, like, I guess I'm asking you, like, how much do you think, how much of your fear that that's going to happen is you just assuming that it's going to, and just assuming that you are going to fail at that?
Fuck you, Eric. No, just kidding.
Sorry.
No, you're right. But actually, in the middle, like, literally, you know how sometimes when you have ADHD and you just know what somebody's going to say at the end of the sentence,
yeah,
and then you got to, like, patiently wait for them to
finish
that? Yeah. I realized halfway through what you were saying that I already knew why I do that. And it's like trauma, man. And it's because growing up, I would do that all the time. I would, like, do the thing where I'd, like, pull everything out. I'm like, I'm going to reorganize my desk and I'm going to be perfect. It's going to be so good. I'm going to clean everything out of my closet. And I would do that. And then I would get to the end and I would be like, look. And then one of my parents would be like, wow, that's a great start. Or like, wow, we'll see how long it lasts.
Oh, God.
Or, you know, like, wow.
I'm sorry,
like,
sweet. Oh, that's
well,
hard.
You know what I mean? And so I think, like, yeah, I really think, like, if I'm being honest, I think some of that sort of defeatism is learned incompetence. But I learned it not because, like, I chose incompetence, but because I just got told that, like, whenever I was at the end of the project, no, I actually wasn't. And so, like, then there's also that perfectionist streak of, like, where, like,
so, like, it sounds
like inside me are two dragons, you know, and it's like I have the ADHD dragon and I have the autism dragon. And for me, like, one of the greatest joys of my life is lining stuff up. Like, I fuck, like, it feels good. It feels good, you know. And so it's like I'll take the dishes and I'll, like, meticulously stack the cups, you know, and I'll line the cups up or whatever. But then my ADHD goes, that's so fucking boring. That's so boring. And so then it's like they start really nicely. And then by the end, they're just like, you know how they keep the pint cups. So they're just, it's just like the absolute chaos. And it's because, like, my ADHD doesn't want to take the time. And my autism, like, wants me to take the time. And so I compromise by just, like, doing it as quick as I can to get it over with. And so, like, I wonder also, like, and something that I've really been thinking about is, like, I've been so also, sorry, dear listeners, my therapist was off this week, so I guess this is just what we're doing for therapy this week. But also some of that is, like, I'm just so divorced from, like, a lot of my, like, feelings and, like, how I process feelings. Because I'm just like, I don't like that, don't like feeling those feelings, so let's just not. And so I wonder, like, if I don't want to say, like, mindfulness because I fucking hate that word, but, like, an intentionality behind.
Put a pin in that real quick. Sorry.
I don't even want to get started on how much I hate fucking mindfulness.
Next time we don't.
But, like, intentionality, you know, if it's like, okay, like, I'm going to take everything out of the cabinets. I'm going to sort through everything.
And what?
Then, nothing. I can't say it on the podcast. and then.
I'm going to guess in my head for the rest of this.
It's fine. I'm just going to say Eric is wearing gray sweatpants and half our audience is going to know what that means and half aren't. And I'm
I know what
that
means. You just objectified the shit out of me.
I did because you're hot.
And you can't even. Okay.
I'm sorry. You can edit that part out if you want.
I might.
But yeah. So intentionality.
Yeah.
I got distracted.
No, it's okay. Why did you get distracted by? All right, sorry.
You're cute. You're a hot little guy.
No, I mean, I think.
You're just a cute little guy. Look at your little cute everything.
Shucks.
Little
I got,
cute guy.
I got my Jamie Tartt headband on.
You do.
Too. Yeah.
It's a good headband.
Thanks. No, I mean, I think learned incompetence enhanced or inflamed by trauma is a big thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, for me, definitely, yeah. But it seems like in the ADHD community where something, well, I mean, like in your case, not only did you have to worry about not finishing something, even when you did think you finished, a parental figure would come up to you and say, actually, no, you're fucking not.
Yeah,
you
actually,
know,
no,
I can't imagine
done.
How much. Yeah.
But I think that's maybe, I think maybe we just accidentally hit on something that's, like, really important. is that learned incompetence doesn't have to be something that you decided. Mm-hmm. It can be have been taught to you, which also feels like a little bit of like learned incompetence in terms of like learned incompetence. Like, oh, it's not my fault. But like, I think for a lot of neurodivergent people, like once you really start looking back at like how you were treated, especially like before your diagnosis, if you're like a late diagnosed person, I think like a lot of the incompetence that is learned was like not you. Like it wasn't your fault. It was things like, you know, like, oh, I'm done cleaning my room. No, you're not. Or we'll see how long it lasts or like whatever. And that's you learning, but not actively. Like it's not you trying to like, oh, I'm going to do a shitty job so I don't have to do it ever again, which is like sort of the idea of learned incompetence. It's the exact opposite thing where you are trying to do the best job that you possibly can. And everybody around you looks at you and goes, well, your desk is too messy, or your backpack is too messy, or your binder is too disorganized.
Well, I mean, I would still call that learned incompetence. To, you know, if I could get a little wordy, that's like, there could be like autodidactic learned incompetence and didactic learned incompetence, where like, is it an external thing? Like, did you think you were doing fine? And then somebody told you you fucking weren't a million times. And so you thought, so you learned, oh, I guess I suck at that. Or are you yourself thinking like, wow, I suck at this, and therefore I must forever suck at this, you know? Yeah. I think there are two different types. And I think one, and when you're talking trauma, I mean, that's just a match made in heaven, I think. When you're, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think for me, a lot of my worst learned incompetence is, I guess, autodidactic learned incompetence, which is the most pretentious fucking thing. But, you know, I taught myself the thing that I learned, the fact that I was incompetent in something, is probably school. Just because, I mean, I did fine in school. You know, I wasn't bad. I just had a really hard time with it, legitimately, like for legitimate reasons. But that was 10 years ago now. I'm a different person now. I have strategies and tools, and I know more about ADHD, and I know more about myself and my wants and my strengths and weaknesses and all that stuff. Like, who's to say if I went back to school, it wouldn't go well? But it's still just in my head. It's like a relic, you know, of just like, no, I can't do school. Anytime I'm like, oh, I need to get some, you know, credentials for this, it's just factual, but I can't do school. And that's maybe true or maybe not. And I don't know. I don't know. None of this is meant to sort of blame people for their own. I mean, if anything, I think it's hopeful.
Yeah.
Because if something is your fault, then you can fix it, you know? And so, I don't know. I mean, it's, I cut you off, pardon me. We also should probably end because you have a fancy, cool game to play.
Wow. But no, I mean, I think like actually like it makes me feel better because like I think one of the things that I really have realized in just like talking this through here is like there's so many places where like I am confident in like how I do things, and I am confident in like, oh, I do like it when my closet is a certain way or my desk is a certain way or whatever. I just got told over and over and over again that it wasn't good enough, or that's not how you're, you know, quote unquote, supposed to do your laundry. And it's like, who the fuck says? And I think that's like the thing that we've been trying to teach people the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's your standards that matter, you know, if you're, yeah, absolutely. Well, do you want to say the cool outro thing that I always screw up?
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks
so
much.
Excited to be back. Thanks again to our sponsors, Geek Therapeutics.
Geek Therapeutics.
And also don't forget to eat a snack, drink some water, take your meds, be kind to yourself, be kind to others, and remember that we love you. We'll be back next week with more TTRPG goodness and maybe some conversations about the ADHD.
Yeah. Bye, everybody. Thanks for being here.